Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Come on, let's put our hands together and give God thanks. If you want to, you realize that every now and then you need to encourage yourself. You ever called for it and the line was busy, they were not available, and you went right when you were going through, you didn't think you were going to make it, but somehow you drew on the strength of God to encourage yourself. Come on, let's put our hands together one more time. Thank you, God, for helping us encourage ourselves. Amen. Thank you, praise and worship to you. Awesome job in ushering us into God's presence today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for seeking to worship God today, even on this holiday weekend. Could be a sit-in, a live-in, a sleep-in, but amen, what a beautiful day that the Lord has given us. You have sought your way to come to worship God, and for that we are thankful. Let's pray. God, we honor your name. Thank you, God, for meeting us here. Bless now your word, God, and your servant. Use me as a willing vessel, God, for your glory and for your honor. Anoint me afresh, God, that the preaching will come with the power and conviction, yes, through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Yes. And that even someone who is far from you might even ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Yes. Thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, our worship celebration coincides with the birthday of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was not just a social activist, but he was a Baptist preacher who inspired a nation with his oratory and his convictions. So it is fitting that we kick off our new series called Brand New, talking about brand new faith. See, during his life, Dr. King exhibited great faith against overwhelming odds to bring about justice and equality for all people. That's the testimony right there. Because all of us, if we're true to it, can identify with the fact that some of us are facing or have faced overwhelming odds. It looks like everything is stacked up against you, but yet you are still have the audacity to trust God anyway. Do I have some witnesses here? Yeah. You're looking at some unbelievable situations, but I'm going to trust him anyway. Yeah. Our foundational scripture for this series is found in Isaiah 43 and 18 through 19, and it reads like this from the New Living Translation. Forget all of that. In other words, all the stuff I've done for you before is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Tell your neighbor right now, hold on to your seat and get ready, because what you've seen of God ain't nothing compared to what he's going to do. Verse 19, for I'm about to do a brand new thing. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. I will create rivers for them in the desert. The children of Israel found themselves in bondage again, needing God to rescue them again. I know that's somebody's testimony. You find yourself in a situation once again, and God, I need you to come through. But they found themselves in a situation because they had been disobedient to God. Now, some of us find ourselves in challenges not because we've been disobedient, but because that we got a target on our back, because we still trust Jesus anyway. Yes, yes. But he was telling them, just as he's telling us today, that God was going to do something brand new in their life. But they needed to have faith that he could do it. Anybody got faith that God can still do exceedingly, abundantly, even greater things than he's done before? So if you got to have that kind of faith for this new life that God is going to give you, you need to answer some questions. You need to answer some questions about the new life God wants to guide you in. What kind of question, preacher? You got to answer, are you changing on the outside or are you changing on the inside? Are you doing something different or are you becoming someone different? Are you improving the old you or are you becoming a brand new you? All right. Do I have anybody that's ready to answer these questions here in 2017 about the brand new thing that God is ready to do in their life? See, for the remainder of this message, I want to focus our attention on Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 to help you with this brand new faith, to help you begin a brand new year. Anybody ready? Let's roll. Hebrews 19. Say that. Well, let me pause for a moment. Look, check this out. Martin Luther King combined two scriptures. Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He combined that with James 20 and 20. Faith without works is dead. And this is how Dr. King combined those two scriptures, and he said this: faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Can I say that again? Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. So in Hebrews chapter 10, we learn how we got to take that first step. Hebrews chapter 10 reads this way: therefore, brothers and sisters, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living faith. Somebody said, new and living faith. Yeah, a new and living faith, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Tell your neighbor, don't waver. For he who promised is faithful. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, don't waver because he's faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, and forsaking forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much that more with the day that is coming forward. Amen. So if we're gonna do like Dr. King and say we're gonna take a step of faith even when we don't see the whole staircase, what does that look like? Four quick things and I'm out of here. I'm out of here. First thing is we gotta consecrate yourself to worship intimately. Consecrate means that you have been set aside by God. Notice the text says, verse 22, so come near to God. So let's come near to God with pure heart and a confidence that comes from having what? Faith. So you don't come just because the building is over. You're not just coming because you got a new outfit. You're coming with a pure heart and a confidence that comes from having faith in a God who has cleansed your heart, who has purified your heart, who has cleansed you from all those evil thoughts and all those evil actions. He's washed you clean with his water. So tell your neighbor, he's washed you clean. In other words, I come before the Lord to engage him in meaningful worship because I didn't come here to show off, but I came here to meet God. I came here because I'm glad that everybody else is here, but my focus for coming was because I came to God. I came to him because I knew I needed him. I didn't know what I was going to be facing this week, but I know that the only way that I can face whatever I'm going to face is because God is going to be with me, and because I've spent some time with God, and I've come to him because I know he's here. I come to him in faith. I come with him with the confidence and assurance that if I come here seeking God, he's going to meet me here. way. He's going to meet me here. I know this is the Civitan Center, and they living through here on Saturday night, and they shake it to his heart on Saturday night. But right now, it's holy ground. It's holy ground. It's holy ground. And God is the only one that can do that. He can take a nobody and turn them and make them a mouthpiece for him. He can take someone who stutters like Moses and use him for his glory. James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you.
Amen.
Just with the assurance that I'm coming. Intimately to be with God. In other words, just like little Shannon goes to Queen with his arms wide open for her to pick him up, and then he wraps his arms around her neck with a big hug. That's the same way God is waiting on you to come to him with open arms. Say, God, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, I don't even know where to go. It'd be over for me. I'd be out of here. But I'm so glad to know that I can draw near to God. And when I draw near to him, he'll just wrap his arms around me and pat me on the back, even wipe away my tears and say, everything is going to be all right. See, when you consecrate yourself, in order to come into God's presence. See, the text talks about that now we can go behind the veil. We can come into the holies of holies, because in the Old Testament, only the high priest could come in that secret place where God was. But now Jesus has split the curtain and made it, given everybody access. Tell you that you got access. You got access to come before God with an open heart and open hands to come near to him.
Amen.
So consecrate yourself to worship him intimately. God wants you to be close, but not only are you to consecrate yourself to come to him intimately, commit yourself to feeding on his word daily. Commit yourself to feeding daily. We must hold tightly to the hope. Verse 23 of Hebrews says, we must hold tight. Somebody said, hold tight. To the hope we say is ours. After all, we can trust the one who made the agreement with us. In other words, he's faithful. In other words, you got to commit yourself to feeding on him daily. It is said that Dr. King meditated for an hour a day and prayed and discovered God. And it was through this sort of devotional life that he believed that our souls could be united with God, bringing our will in line with God's will. In other words, now if you look, he knew that those situations, the times when they were going to be confronted with evil, with people who were supposed to protect them, that were beating them with clubs, the only way that he could face that kind of danger, it was because he had spent some time with God.
Amen.
I hope you've been reading the devotionals, the 21-day devotionals that we are fasting and praying, that we've been sending out, trying to encourage you, trying to help you wrap your mind around what God is trying to do for you and in you and through you in this brand new year. In other words, Jesus had his disciples with him, and he says, I'm getting ready to go make a supreme sacrifice, but I need y'all to just stay here and pray. I'm going to go a little bit farther, but you stay here and pray. But he came back and found them asleep, saying, can't y'all pray just 1 hour? You look at scandal for an hour. You look at the how to get away with murder for an hour. And with all the technology record it and go see it later. Man, find some time with God to pray and to seek his face and say, God, not my will, but let your will be done. See, Joshua was instructed. Joshua, if you're going to have success and if you're going to be prosperous, this is what you got to do. This is what he told him in Joshua 1:8. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day
and night.
On Sunday morning, well, meditate on the word day and night so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You will have good success. Ask your neighbor, do you want good success? Do you want success? See, the reason that you kept your attitude and get mad with folk and be ready to cuss folk out because you ain't spending no time in the word.
Right.
When somebody cut you off in traffic, do you run them down and yeah, you give them some sign language that's not too pleasant. Why? It's because you didn't start your day in the word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, when you and I sin, other people are affected, but we're sinning against God. You can't say you with God and say, well, I ain't like Rev. I don't know what. Get in the word. Remember a verse a day. Even when I grew up, I know they probably don't talk about this now because everybody don't eat healthy. They say an apple a day will keep the doctor away. A verse of the word a day will keep the devil away. Do I have any witnesses in here? Every time the devil starts raising his head, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Why? Because I'm consecrated to God and I got access to God and I'm intimate with him, and then I'm committed to be with him daily, regularly. That's why I know that I'm not walking alone. I know I'm not facing my troubles alone. I know I'm not facing my illness alone. I know I'm not facing these bills alone. I know I'm not facing this trouble alone. I got the God on my side, because when I talked to him this morning, he told me I'm there for you.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And then thirdly, consistently serve faithfully. Consistently serve faithfully. See, consistent means you always show up. Faithful is that you're committed to using your gifts for his glory. I'm still in the word. The CEV version says we should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things. See, we are a church that is committed to helping people discover their unique gifting that only God has gifted you to do. There's some things many of us do with the anointing of God much better than others. I mean, all of us can do a lot of things, but we're not anointed to do everything. See, when you're anointed to do what God has anointed and gifted you to do, it looks easy. As a matter of fact, it gives sometimes you the false impression, or others the false impression, that anybody can do. But we're committed to helping you serve faithfully. The text says that Dr. King stated that Christ is more concerned with how we treat our neighbors and our attitudes toward racial justice and living a high ethical life that it is with the long processionals and the knowledge of creeds and the beautiful church architecture. He says, you know, that's beautiful, but that God is more worried, not how beautiful the church is, but how you treat your brother and your sister. Notice the text says, encourage one another with helpful deeds. In other words, when you and I are operating in our gifts and serving in some capacity in the church, one word can help someone be encouraged to keep on going. When we know we're supposed to be serving and don't show up and don't do what we're supposed to do, somebody is missing out on being encouraged and continuing their faith in God. I talked to a preacher last night, and he was saying that his wife went to her hometown, and he says that the churches are sitting empty because people rather sit home and stream the word
See, they just become too lazy. They'd rather sit home but church is more than just the sermon and just the songs. It is about the community of believers coming together to encourage one another in the faith. We can all come together and hear testimonies of the miracles that God is still doing in our lives. Ain't it right, Arvette? Somebody, Arvette got hit broadside on her car, and yet she made her way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Veronica, leg, whatever happened to her leg, got a bracelet around her leg, but yet she on her crutches rolled up. Come on. Don't let what the devil is trying to discourage you with keep you from the presence of God, to keep you from serving God, to keep you from encouraging some other brother and sister that is all right. God is still God. Matter of fact, 1 Peter 4:10 says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in various forms. In other words, all of us have different gifts, different, you know, some of it is giving, some of it is prophetic, some is pastoring, leading. Whatever your gift, make sure you serve it. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Last point, then I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done. Connect with others regularly. Man, if we could ever catch hold of this, think about it. Now, the pastor said the reason that the people won't stay home because they don't want to be accountable. They didn't want to. They didn't want nobody to ask them to do nothing. So they'd rather sit home and just, you know, look at the word. And it's not just a problem in their church. It's everywhere. I talk to pastors and they say, people, you add people to. I could give you some examples here. I asked people to do, you know, and they stopped coming to church.
After they said they would.
Yeah, they would do it. If you can't do it, just say, well, Pastor, and I'm not saying I'm going to ask you to do it, just throw you out there. Right. See, when I first went in the Air Force and I got through basic training, you know, everybody else went to tech school, they threw me on the base and said, we're going to train you as you go. That's called on-the-job training. Well, all of us can have experience on the job training, because even after you've been to school and been trained, they still gonna throw you in the job and say, we're gonna train you how to do it. They taught you the overall theory. Now we're gonna show you how to put it in practice. In other words, I will disciple you and show you how to perfect your gift and do what you need to do, but don't just stop, not show up. Don't just stop coming because you don't want to do nothing. And I don't want you to not do, I'm not even asking you to do it every week. Just can you find one Sunday to serve? But if you commit to that Sunday, if you living and you in good health and you in your right mind, and you able, you got transportation, come serve, because somebody misses out. Look what the text says, Hebrews 10:25. And of course, I know some people have to work on Sunday, and I understand that, because you've got to. Ox in the hole, you got to get that ox out. That's what the Bible says. But look what it says. Some people have given up the habit of meeting for worship or connecting in small groups, but we must do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting close. Does anybody believe that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer and closer? Here it is in January, 65. I'm about to burn up. And normally it's so cold in January. Am I wrong? I remember the days when we were in D.C. marching for Dr. King's birthday to become a holiday. By the time I got back to the subway, I was walking like a penguin because I was so cold. Here it is, 65 yesterday, Friday, 65 today. We'll be 65 for the rest of the week in the middle of January. Of course, not that everywhere, but we see the signs. But I know the Lord says in his word, no man knows the time or the hour that Jesus is going to appear. But look, God never intended for us to do life alone. He never intended us to do ministry alone. He means for us to have meaningful relationships. Relationships to encourage one another. Relationships where we will pray for one another. Relationships where we will believe God together for one another, that God still is able to make. That's what new faith is all about. New faith is that although I got knocked down in 2016, although I got discouraged in 2016, although I faced some disappointments and some setbacks, I still believe that God is filling me with new inspiration, that he is still able to do what he said he would do. Does anybody believe that today? That the Lord is still able to do what he said he do. Matter of fact, I was so inspired this morning. I was looking at a service in First Baptist Church in Glenard, and I heard a man say that he had been he had a big job making $130,000 a year. He lost his job. Not only did he lose his job, he had a divorce, lost $400,000 house, was homeless. While he was homeless, he got hit by a car, was laid up in a VA hospital, and was told he was never going to walk again. But there he was, standing up in church, talking about the Lord made a way. Oh, Jesus, he made a way somehow. But all of that was good to shout on, but this is what really blessed me, talking about not forsaking coming together, and we've been trying to get small groups started here. He drives from West Virginia to Maryland every week for church. I wish I had some witnesses here. We have a toothache, and Lord, I ain't coming to this. Look, he's right. Look, y'all got to understand that West Virginia, the weather ain't sometimes it's rough. But he says, well, why you drive from West Virginia? He said, because this is where I'm getting fed. This is where I'm meeting God. This is where my faith is being renewed, that the Lord is powerful, that the Lord is wonderful, that the Lord is still on his throne. I remember what David said in Psalms 41. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He cried out to me when I was in a peak of despair, when I was in the muck and the miry clay, but he set my feet on the solid rock. And he said, anybody else's feet on the solid rock of Christ. In other words, I've been down, I've been out, but I'm not been forsaken, because the Lord is still on my side. Can we give him praise in here? David says, giving me a new song. He's giving me a hymn of praise. Thank you, God. See, small groups or Sunday school, however you want to describe it, I call small groups Sunday school on the go. So that where we got, so you and I, with our own orcas, need to connect with others. Now, you know, on a regular basis, so that we can hold each other accountable. I know you're grown, and I know you don't want nobody telling you what to do. But this is what somebody called me. I mean, told Mammy about it. Somebody called me this week. He's older than I am. He's been anointed to preach the word, called to preach to God. He says, I need a sponsor. I need an accountability partner. He says, I had another pastor friend that I went through seminary with, but I couldn't get in touch with him, but you kept coming to mind. I said, now, what does this mean? He said, it just means that we touch base once a week, and you ask me, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Now, he's older than me. He wants me to hold him accountable. I didn't ask him. I didn't call him and say, I need to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. I already got enough to do. I got enough to do just trying to help me stay doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But it blessed me in the thought that someone, because he's come through, the Lord has brought him through some stuff. So I know when we get saved and we get on these new clothes and we get on this new cologne and we sing these new songs and we ain't singing the old songs anymore, we don't want nobody to know where the Lord has brought us from. But he says, because know where the Lord has brought me from. I know the devil can easily try to tempt me to go back, but so I need somebody to hold me accountable so that I can keep walking the straight and narrow, because I got a new faith in God. I got a new faith that I want to keep holding on to. I got a new faith that I don't want to let go of. I got a new faith that I want to let men, women, boys, and girls know that Jesus is alive in my life. I don't want to walk this journey alone. I don't want to pretend like I got it all together. I need somebody just to check me sometimes. You know the check me. You know how it is. You check your children sometimes when they acting crazy. You tell them you better get up off me. You don't want me to come in that room. Yeah, just like that. God said we need people of faith to check us sometimes. Because God checks us. But every now and then he has placed people in our lives. To hold us accountable. I know it got quiet right about there, but he says, what you going to do when you let confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can be healed?
That's good.
You walking around here wounded, tore up, and don't want to tell nobody, I'm going through. And you can't tell anybody you've been.
Amen.
Because some people are, what do you call it? Like the parakeet. You heard the story about the parakeet. Man came in, lady came in the store, and parakeet said, "You sure are ugly." And she went and told the owner, "Beat the parakeet, beat the parakeet, beat the parakeet. Don't you do it no more." The woman came in next week. He said, "You sure are ugly." She went and told the man again. The lady was upset. She didn't come for several weeks. I want to tell that parakeet, "You better not do it no more." The woman came back. She didn't go by the parakeet initially, but eventually she went by the parakeet. And he just looked at her, "You know." You know, I ain't going to say that, but you know. That's what God is saying to you and I. We need some people in our lives, and we need to connect with them regularly to hold us accountable. You know, because this Christian journey, it's challenging trying to do it all by yourself. But every now and then, you need to say, "Look, this is what I'm dealing with. I need you to pray with me, pray for me." Why? Because I want to be healed.
Yes.
Not just physically,
yes,
spiritually,
amen,
emotionally, mentally. Sometimes people die of broken hearts. That's what they say happened with Debbie Reynolds, that when her daughter died, she died the next day. She said, "I don't even want to go on another day." God is saying, "Yeah, you're going to face challenges, but it ain't time for you to try to check." Somebody's trying to check out, and God ain't told you to try to check out.
Amen.
He ain't called you home.
Amen.
He still got work for you to do.
Amen.
He's got people in your lives who still don't know Jesus, who are on their way to hell, and he's left you in place to point them the way. Let's pray.